Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, tonight, a new show debuts on TV Land. It's called Teachers, and it's a comedy about a set of teachers at Fillmore Elementary School. But it's definitely not a show about the state of education in this country.
Okay, everyone, quiet coyote.
Thank you. Now, today I want to talk to you guys about bullies. A bully is someone who generally disregards your feelings, ignores your texts, and changes the password on your joint Netflix account 2 days after you break up.
Miss Watson.
A bully can also take you to Nashville one weekend on his frequent flyer miles, treat you to bottomless mimosas, and then on Monday tell you it's over.
What's a mimosa?
It's something women in their 20s order so they can feel better about drinking in the morning.
I thought we were going to read Cinderella today.
No. No, I'm not going to be reading you any fairy tales because they're lies. The truth is, kids, sometimes Prince Charming wants to date other people, you know? And just because you leave a shoe at his apartment doesn't mean you can show up whenever you want. Nobody lives happily ever after. Trust me, my cousin Connie's 39. She just got divorced, and now she works part-time at a Chico's.
Chico's?
Yeah, Chico's. Spanish for big shoulders.
Or is it? It's a new show based on a successful web series of the same name, produced and starring the Chicago improv group Katie Dids. The group currently lives in L.A., but they got their start right here at I.O. in Chicago. In studio with me tonight, Katie Thomas, Kate Lambert, and Caitlin Barlow. The show debuts tonight at 10 o'clock. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having us. We're so excited.
What's going through your head right now? I mean, this has been such a journey for you guys. I mean, it's about to debut.
Oh, my gosh. My husband's back in L.A., and he texted me this afternoon and said, how are you feeling? And I think I sent him 12 texts back saying different emotions. I was like, proud, nervous, anxious, happy, excited, nostalgic. I mean, it was just this barrage of...
They have emojis for that stuff now.
I know.
Just the one that has your hands there, like, I'm not sure how to feel.
So, I mean, it's just amazing because it really is, if you think about... all the way back to Chicago when you guys met and started performing improv and said, hey, we really like the chemistry. Okay, well, let's do something together. Let's do a web series. I know, let's go to L.A. Let's sell this web series. Okay, now it's a TV show. I mean, it's almost like the improv group dream.
It is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we're just so excited. The thing is that, you know, we obviously started as an improv group. Caitlin actually put the group together. I'll let her tell the story, though.
Sure. I mean, yeah, we all met 8 years ago. We're all in the Chicago comedy scene. And I just kept meeting all these really funny women named Kate or Katie. Mm-hmm. And so kind of just as a joke, I was like, let's do an improv show. We all have the same name. And it was just supposed to be one show, but we did. I mean, we just had amazing chemistry and we became best friends. And, you know, I think something that's really cool about this group is that we're all very different. We all have different strengths, but you know, when we all come together, it kind of creates this different voice. That's all of our voices together, and it's something kind of outside of ourselves.
Well, you guys have, you know, done improv for a long time now. How important is that? I mean, for people who are maybe not familiar with the art form, how important is it to have diverse talent on stage? Not everybody's, you know, being the same.
Very important. I mean, the thing is that you want people who have different strengths and different things with improv. Improv has so many different, like, characteristics of it. You know, someone who is not afraid to be physical or someone who's not afraid to be wacky. And, like, you just need someone. But the thing is about this group is that I think sometimes when you put improv groups together, you can focus so much on that. Like, okay, this person fills that slot. This person fills that slot. Yeah. And that this group was put so together, like, and we all have the same name. But somehow it worked out. And so because we all do have different strengths, so it was just sort of like kismet. Like, it doesn't make sense. It probably shouldn't have worked, but it did. And, you know, like, some of us didn't even know each other. We shook hands before we walked out on stage that night. But after we performed, we started at Playground, and then we did a run at Studio B. And it was really during that run at Studio B, because we had done it, like, a bunch of times every week, where we, after the Playground and then after the Studio B, we're like, okay, something is different about this. And it just felt so special that we decided that we had to run with it.
Let me ask you, I mean, there's always a time where chemistry will play and you feel like you get a good show, especially in the Chicago improv community. But there's that moment where you say, well, we can make a life out of this, or we can make a business, because the business really gears itself towards individuals. I mean, that's just the way it is. And being in comedy, you can be in groups, but you get to the next stage and they're like, we like you. We don't, not as much you. You know, like, that's down the line. When did you decide this is something we're going to do together and this is going to be our lives?
Well, I think after that Studio B run, some I.O. folks had come to the show and decided they wanted to give us a slot at their theater. And it was in that moment that we just started, we almost attacked it like a business in that moment. We decided, Kate Lambert suggested we make some promo videos to promote the show. We got a photographer to take some really fun promo photos of us. We sent out press releases. I mean, it was a midnight on a Friday night show at I.O., you know? We just attacked it.
We got like, we decided to brand ourselves right away.
Yeah.
We got a logo. We got a website. We got, you know, a Facebook fan page. And what the whole reason behind the promo videos was people might not know our comedy or know maybe our faces, but we were like, we'll put our faces out there and we'll show people what kind of comedy we do. So maybe they'll be interested in coming to the improv show. And like, that's how we could get attendance and our kind of comedy that we do and our brand out there.
Right. And so then from there, it just seemed like the girls were saying about this kind of unique voice that comes out of us when the six of us come together. There was just something so unique and special about that. We just wanted to really stick with that. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of individuals that have come out of Chicago, and we really admire people who have all ended up on SNL. It's Cecily Strong, Edie Bryant, Vanessa Bayer, all those guys. And I think, you know, we were all doing our own work on our own, but this was the thing that just seemed to keep working time and time again.
Well, let me ask you about the web series, because that's really where, you know, you see the kernel of what you've done with Teachers on TV Land, which we'll see tonight at 10 o'clock. The web series, you know, you got together with Matt Miller, who's a longtime casting director and a producer here in Chicago, to create this web series. How did that come about?
Matt Miller is lovely, and he's wonderful. He's a wonderful man. Very tall man. Basically, what happened was we were developing another web series about a mega church, and we really wanted to work with Matt because we knew him. And we approached him with a project, and he's like, I don't think this is quite right, but we knew that we wanted to work together. So Matt came to us, and he said, you know, I think it would be really funny if you all play teachers. And so we're like, all right. So we worked together, and we collaborated, and the KDDids developed these characters, and we wrote
24.
We wrote 24 episodes, and we were so lucky to collaborate with Matt and also get together with Capgun Collective in Chicago, mm-hmm. which really, they all those guys absolutely elevated the project.
Did you have a background in any sort of education? I mean, were you familiar with the concept of being a teacher?
Yes. I have my master's degree in bilingual education from DePaul, and I was a Chicago public school teacher.
There you go.
I taught fourth grade at Hibbert Elementary in Albany Park.
Holla.
Hello, if any of you
How about the rest of you? I mean, was it more like, okay, I know the stereotype of teachers, and I mean, the premise is that, you know, you're teachers, but you're kind of disaffected. That's the concept. Like, I mean, I don't want to give away the complete comedy, but you guys are kind of in your own world as the school day kind of moves around you. But how much did you know about what a teacher does or how a teacher acts?
Well, in that first meeting, we actually hadn't nailed down at what level we wanted to teach at. And we decided elementary school because elementary school is such like a crisp memory for everybody. I think I can remember every single name of my elementary school teachers. Like, you know, they were just something that they're people that just influence you and your education forever. And we thought that it would just be such a great thing because it's such a nostalgia surrounding it. And there are so many things like you learn about holidays. You learn about, you know, like there's all those different like picture day, field day, sex ed. Like there are so many like huge like moments in elementary school. So that's, I think, why we essentially went after that. But then also we decided that elementary school kids, it'll sort of fly over their heads a little bit when we're really inappropriate. But also they'll be honest. Like, they'll be like, I don't think you're handling this breakup very well. Right. And it's like, I'm sorry, what? You know? Like,
well, there's a great scene in one of the episodes where you are putting up on the screen your Facebook pictures of your ex.
Yeah.
And does this look like they're serious? And
yeah, the kids friends are more than friends.
No, like, it's a great scene. And when one of the kids goes, that looks pretty serious, get out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's time for you to leave. Because that is the wrong answer.
But I mean, it's funny because I have an 8-year-old. We're in an elementary school in the Chicago Public Schools, and the teachers are younger. I mean, they're 20, in their early 20s, mid 20s. And there is this sort of like feel that maybe, you know, like maybe this isn't like the educator of the past where it's like, this is all I do and this is my life. No, they're kids.
Yeah. But were the educators of the past?
No, they probably
only
weren't.
You know, I think, like, right. that's part of what we really liked about this idea was that, you know, that memory of those elementary school teachers when you're a kid is that they only exist in that world. It's exactly that. Oh, they only teach, and they're married, and they go home, and they do their thing, right. and that's it.
They're
and when
pure.
You're a kid, right. like some one of the girls in the group mentioned that one of her teachers got married during a school year, and her last name changed, and it blew her mind. Katie O'Brien always says that it's like seeing a dinosaur when you see a purple dinosaur when you see a teacher outside of the classroom. And I think what we really found interesting was that this is a workplace comedy, and these are real people, just like teachers are real people. They've got stuff going on. They have hangovers sometimes. It's just that they're held to this totally different standard because they're in charge of molding the minds of America's youth.
And that's a great juxtaposition to play against.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, I think we can all say, like, in our early 20s, we didn't know what we were doing.
Uh-uh.
And the fact that you're in charge of molding America's yeah. youth, it's like, you can't even figure out how to get, you know, rid of a hangover.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like you show up and you're like, because kids think adults have it all figured out. It's like, listen, I have no idea what's going on either. You know? Like, I don't even know.
Kate Lambert, Katie Thomas, Caitlin Barlow are three of the six members of the Katie Dids. Their show, Teachers, debuts tonight at 10 o'clock on TV Land. We're going to take a break. We come back. I want to talk about how you guys got this to TV. I mean, the idea of a web series to TV almost feels like it's just a line in a story, you know, where they always say, and then they had a web series and they were found. But it's not that true. If you really look at it, web series have a high failure rate of when they get pushed to television. You guys made it through. We'll talk more with you guys about how you did that here on The Download. Stay with us.
So I went out with a drug dealer.
Jared S., pick a better choice.
Saturday night? It was incredible.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. We're talking about the show Teachers, which debuts tonight, 10 o'clock on TV Land. In studio with me, Katie Thomas, Kate Lambert, and Caitlin Barlow. They are three of the six members of the Katie Dids, an improv group that started here in Chicago. They now live in Los Angeles. You guys made that decision, though. That was a decision that was made. You were here in Chicago. You said, you know what, for us in our career, let's all move to Los Angeles.
Yeah, we kind of trickled out there. Katie O'Brien has been there the longest, and we didn't all, you know, it wasn't like there was a TV show in place at that
right.
point. We started working with William Morris Endeavor when most of us were still living in Chicago. So we started working with them to sell the show. We flew out there for a lot of meetings. A lot of us were still living here. And slowly but surely, we started moving out there. And by the time we sold a pilot, that's when the last few of us went
out
there.
Said, we got to get out there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I think that for some of us, that was a huge risk. I mean, Caitlin was still teaching at Hibbert Elementary, holla. you know, and she loved that job. And my husband had a job here, and he believed in it so much that he came out to LA with me. So, you know, we knew we were going to write, produce, and shoot a pilot and star in it, and that's all we knew.
It was a huge, huge leap of faith.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you could continue to do the go to LA, fly, come back, you know, do that kind of thing. What was it about the leap of faith that said, you know what, this is the moment, we're gonna uproot and move to Los Angeles?
I think for me, it was just, you know, I loved my job. I love my school. And it was hard. It was a very, very hard decision to make. But it was just, I knew that this was a once in a lifetime thing. And this group was so important to me. And it was so important to take this group as far as I could take it. So for me, it was kind of, you know, as soon as we knew the pilot was happening, for me, it was hard, but it was kind of, I knew what the right decision was.
Yeah.
That process is a process that is wrought with a lot of mystery, you know, for people who aren't in the business, to how you get from web series to the pitch room to pilot to TV Land to actually a premiere tonight. Talk about that. I mean, because you went out with the idea of having, you know, the actual physical, the web series in your hand. What was the reaction? How did you get it to the next step?
Well, when we released the web series, it got some traction pretty quickly. And so when William Morris came on, we started, you know, obviously thinking about getting it to television. And Allison Brie was looking for, looked to get on the production side. And she was brought onto the project. We met with her and We just thought she was a terrific fit for it. And we were planning on going out to pitch everything. And TV Land actually called William Morris and was like, we are looking for a comedy. Yeah. And teachers fit the bill. And so William Morris... I'm talking about William Morris, like he actually showed it to him. Yeah. William Morris, our agent at William Morris, Alec Botnick, he actually, you know, sent it over to them, and that's how they bought it.
It's interesting because you have, it's almost like, you know, the advantage that you have is that you've already produced this in some way that they could see. A lot of times, you know, before the internet, I mean, comics had to just go into a room and be like, then the camera goes down a hallway, and then you see two teachers, you know, and you have to explain it that way, almost like in a face-to-face. You had the physical jokes, the great production, the web series in your hand.
We had a digital pitch, yeah, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been the Katie Did's MO, is just do it ourselves. Because, you know, we're here in Chicago, there's limited opportunities, there's tons of improvisers all vying for the same thing. And instead of just kind of waiting around, we did it ourselves, and that's what we did with the web series. As opposed to saying, like, can I please pitch this to you, Mr. Executive? We had proof that it was going to work, and TV Land has been a dream come true to work with. I mean, I can't imagine us having the amount of creative control at any other place.
Well, I was going to ask. Yeah. I mean, you went from being in control of your product at the web series, where there really wasn't a higher boss, mm-hmm. to now, you know, a network that has a lot of interest in. I'm sure there's more involvement. How has that been for you guys?
It's been wonderful. I mean, I think that, you know, my personal opinion is the best comedy comes from TV networks saying, express yourself.
We trust you.
Yeah, we trust you. Absolutely. And so that's how TV Land has been. The majority of notes that we've gotten from them has been, go further. Make this your voice. This must be your voice for it to be the best it can be. And it's, I mean, I pinch myself every day because you hear all these horror stories about, you mm-hmm. know, comedians having to change their vision. And that was never the case with TV Land.
No, like the characters, I think, and the notes that they gave made everything sharper mm-hmm. and work better. And so they constantly would be like, we want what the web series was in a TV show.
How much do you go and take the jokes that you had and transfer them to the I mean, because it's a different experience, obviously, from, you know, having an improv background and doing that web series to actually writing pilots and episodes and putting things together. How's that transition been for you guys?
Well, I think the thing that was most important for us was to take these characters and these vignettes that we had and just make them a little bit bigger and sharper, in the sense that we needed to explore these women in a half-hour format as opposed to 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So some of the characters got more 3D, and, you know, we sort of differentiated between them more. So they just became more defined. And, you know, things like the web series, we do have bits from the web series that now we are able to explore. You know, like Friends Are More Than Friends, like that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
That's now an episode. And so that's something that she's dealing
with. It
just expanded
into an arc,
right. Exactly. Right. So it's like we showed you, like, pieces of stuff that could have been bigger from the web series, and so we got the chance to explore that with everybody's different characters.
It was a wonderful learning experience because none of us came from a TV writing background.
Right.
We're sketch writers.
How did you do that? Do you bring other writers in, like, that's kind of know that?
Actually, the six Katie Dids are the authors on all
wow,
the scripts.
We broke great.
It. We would break the story as the six of us
with our showrunners, G. Martell and Ian Roberts,
who are the showrunners,
are huge showrunners
for.
Yeah.
Key and Peele, and
right.
Ian Roberts is one of the Upright Citizens
Brigade's
founders,
right?
So that was a total improv nerd dream to work with Ian.
Yeah, right.
Lovely. but we went into the room. It was the six of us with them breaking the story, and then two of us would go off in pairs, and we'd switch the pairs for every episode. We'd write the script, and we'd come back, and we'd all pitch new jokes, and we'd punch it up. And we had this wonderful woman, Jill Kargerman, who came in as a story consultant. Because we were like, you know, we have the funny, we have the characters, we have the world, we might need a little help with structure. And we were able to learn so much from her and so much from Jay and Ian about how to take those 2 minute vignettes and make them a 20 minute piece.
Well, we have to let's break for the news, because news is here. You guys mind sticking around for
sure.
One more segment? We'll do another segment here with Katie Thomas, Kate Lambert, and Caitlin Barlow. Their show, Teachers. It's on at 10 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
TV
we're
Land,
so
tonight, the premiere.
Watch yes. it.
Chicago Improv gone Hollywood here in the WGN studios. When we come back, we'll talk more with them. Stay with us.
Miss Snap, I drew you a picture of us.
Thank you so much. Is that supposed to be me?
Yeah.
Where are my cheekbones?
A
couple tips. We have the same size wrists, so why do you draw me with a bigger body? I'm not Miley Cyrus. I don't have horse teeth. Okay. This is really bad. It's disgusting. Let's just consider this a rough draft. Grasshopper sitting on a log. Katie did sitting on a post. Grasshopper says, you bug me, Katie, cause I dig you the most. Old grasshopper about to flip his lid.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Katie Thomas, Kate Lambert, Caitlin Barlow, three of the six members of the Katie Dids, an improv group here in Chicago that I'm sure a lot of people have seen on stage. And tonight, you will the whole country is going to get a chance to see Teachers on TV Land. It premieres in just a half an hour here. I'm so proud. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's amazing. Like you said earlier, it's like an improv group's dream to be able to do that. Have you learned a lot about Hollywood and the way that it works through this experience?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, we're producers, creators, writers, and actors on the show. So it required us to wear a lot of different hats. And so the thing is that sometimes, you know, you've got a couple hats on top. So it's even when you're in a scene, you're thinking about the scene from all these different angles, which I think is actually really helpful for the performance. You know, you're thinking about it, yes, by your acting, but you're also going, does this joke work the best possible? You know, and we were constantly using our improv on set to be on our feet and thinking and trying to improve it in all the different ways possible.
Is it the kind of set that you can do that, where you went out of your way to make sure that you guys can retake something, try something else, improv? You guys just go ahead and on the spot come up with stuff?
I don't think we got a chance to improvise as much as we would like to, but we definitely did. We would do something when we knew we had a take we liked. What did we call it? It was just like a for fun take where we would improvise and kind of just goof around. And we actually ended up using a lot of that in the final
course,
cuts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're improvising, that's the most organic and that's the most connected that you know, a lot of times that you are. And, you know, we used improv a lot, especially with generating dialogue. We all know these characters so well that when we were in the writer's room, we would just improvise as the characters because we know what they would say.
It's amazing, too. And you mentioned Ian Roberts and the Upright Citizen Brigade. They had their own show. You think of even Stephen Colbert and Amy Sedaris and Paul Dinello had their own show, Strangers with Candy.
Yeah.
And then you start to see there's others that were able, SCTV. But the idea of comedy groups being able to take what they do on a stage, particularly here in Chicago, and be able to transfer that to television, to Hollywood, is it's few and far between. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that you're going into like some serious company here?
Every day. I got to tell you, I mean, I am so grateful every second of every day for this experience. We really do. We have this thing where we're like, we look like six administrative assistants. We're like six homely B-words with no credits, you know, from Chicago. And we just went out to L.A. and to Hollywood and had all these amazing opportunities. It totally feels surreal. We're so grateful. And I was talking on the plane ride here. We flew from New York this morning with Katie Colleton, and we were talking about how excited we get when we see people we know succeed, whether it's someone we just saw perform a little bit
sure.
in Chicago, but how exciting it is
yeah.
when we see people. So, I mean, every time I watch SNL and I see one of those ladies that we used to play with here or watch perform, it's just... there's so much joy and pride in that.
Yeah, it's just like we're just so unbelievably grateful and excited for this opportunity. And, you know, like Katie brought it up earlier, that the whole reason that we did this is because we didn't want to wait around for an opportunity. We decided that we knew each other so well that we were going to showcase ourselves the best way we knew how, and that was writing for ourselves and writing
yeah.
to our strengths. And so the fact that this show is on the air and that we are all in it together is so amazing. And Jay and Ian always laugh because they say it's so funny to work with people who are so unjaded that anytime we walk into a place, I always joke around, I'm like, there's a door here. Like, I'm like,
can
oh my
we
God.
Walk through this? Yeah. Wait, we can sit at this desk? Oh my God, thank you.
awesome.
Yeah, and we're like just so unbelievably thrilled. We're like, tiny cereal boxes?
Well,
what?
It's great in the you know, being able to do something creative with your vision and put it in on television. The other thing, too, is it's to be able to work together. The old adage in for comics in Hollywood has always been, Amy Poehler says it best, get famous so you can hire your friends. I mean, that's the idea, that there's rarely ever that you have this sort of organic up everybody at the same time together as a group. You know, that the Hollywood really likes that sort of like pick one and then they get something, they'll hire their friend to be a writer, that kind of thing. So it's extra special to be together as a group, the same group that was on Studio B here in Chicago.
We were really able to get, you say that, we got a lot of Chicago people on the show. So there's been a lot of people that we know from Chicago, or I'm from Detroit originally, so some people from Detroit originally. We were able to get them as characters, whether they were a larger character or just even someone in the background. I think we had at least over 20 Chicago improvisers in the show on TV Land, and that felt so good. And it was just so cool to have, like, even people that, you know, taught us at Second City, getting to work with them in that capacity was unbelievable.
Let me ask you a question. I asked this of a lot of guests on this show. What does this town mean to you? What is it? What did it do for you and the work that we're going to see tonight on TV Land?
Well, I have a Chicago tattoo, so it means a lot to me. I mean, this is our home. I mean, Chicago is absolutely a place. If you are hungry for stage time and you need to cut your teeth, this is the perfect place to do it. If you want to be on stage every single night, you can do that. And I think we all can credit Chicago for being the place where we found our comedic voices.
Yeah, and I also think the Chicago theater and improv community is a very nurturing community. You know, it's something that is welcoming, and the performers are very supportive of each other. You know, like, you can go out on stage, and any night of the week, a large majority of the audience are performers, and people go to watch and support and learn. And it has been like the most amazing experience. And like all the different schools, you know, here for improv, like, you know, everyone, we all did different ones, but, you know, I myself did like the Second City and IO, and it was just going through those and learning, you know, improv and developing improv into sketch was just invaluable to us. And also the whole, you know, the biggest thing with improv is yes and, you know, and I hate to sound like a cliche, but it's exactly what you need for this kind of work. Like, the writer's room is all about collaboration.
Yeah, right.
And so you constantly need to build upon each other's ideas. And even if maybe something doesn't sound like it's going to work right away, you're like, okay, but how can we figure out how to make this work?
I'm teaching my 8-year-old right now that concept, because
that's right.
When he says no, I'm like, why don't you say yes and? And he's just a smart kid. He goes, yes and no.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, oh,
yes
no.
And no, please.
Sounds like your typical level A Second City, the guy in the office who's told he's the comedian.
Right. Or the third grader doesn't want to eat his vegetables,
exactly.
Right? It's interesting because we wanted to have a conversation. Pete and I were talking about just the idea that this is on TV Land, and you know, we brought it up. We're like, well, TV Land's making is really making a push towards, you know, new comedies, things like that. There's a new stuff that's coming out on the network, but we remember TV Land as sort of like the beginning of where old sitcoms are at. And we're going to do a segment on this 312-981-7200 about. I'm sick of Full House, right? I have to watch. I'm trying to introduce my son to stuff that's a little bit more wholesome. Like, I can't give him the Family Guy and stuff like that because it's just too subversive in the way that it never. And so for you guys, and I guess you're now part of TV Land, what would be your recommendations of old sitcoms that would have a heart an 8-year-old would get into from the 80s, from the 90s? What were the stuff that you were watching as kids?
I watched a lot of I Love Lucy.
Oh, okay.
I loved that show. I just thought it was such a great show. Lucille Ball was amazing. I was also a huge Gilda Radner fan with SNL.
Okay.
My parents introduced me to her at a very young age. So that, you know, like those old SNL are just so unbelievable to watch.
All right. So he's big in SNL. He's a big Will Ferrell kid.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I would say I think he should be in fifth grade before he watches it. But I would honestly, Golden Girls.
Oh, it's so good.
And it stands up. That show, it has stood the test of time.
Golden Girls is amazing. It really is.
And just in a study of comedy, like the setup, 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 crash, like
right.
Every single joke is, you know, Rose, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, B. Arthur, brr. And it just is this classic comedic pattern.
All right, one for Golden Girls.
Yeah, you know, well, here's, it's not a sitcom. I'm a weirdo.
Should you say Breaking Bad for your son?
Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Masters of Sex. No, my dad has a weird sense of humor, and he had me watching Monty Python at a very early age. I think I was watching Holy Grail by fifth grade was the first time I saw it, and I really latched on to it. And Caitlin and I connected over this recently that she also started watching it about the same time, and we were watching Flying Circus. And it's funny because so many of those references went completely over my head. I didn't know about the British Parliament. I didn't know about all these historical references or
philosophers.
Right, right.
But it's so silly.
Right.
So the really broad stuff, well, like the silly walks and the it's like the idiot of the year or something like that, where this it's kind of like an obstacle course for these just total morons. you know, I think there's some just really fun, just pure silliness in Monty Python.
It's interesting because we were talking about, I was like, maybe Family Ties, because that's kind of like
Family Ties is fantastic.
It's fantastic. And I went and I was annoyed because I set up on my DVR Full House, and now I have like 180 Full Houses, and they're terrible. I can't stand that show. And I've watched it with him, and he likes it. And I'm like trying to wean him off it. So I'm like, oh, what about Family Ties? So I started watching Family Ties. Maybe I picked the wrong episode, but it is so much more cerebral, thoughtful, kind of, we're a wholesome family. And we're kind of liberal, and Alex is conservative. And he was just like, I don't even know where I'm supposed to laugh. Like, besides Mallory's boyfriend, because the guy who comes, I was like, hey. And like, he did not relate at all to Alex B. Keaton in that thing. And I was just like, oh man, I really have to shift gears. So I'm hoping that you can. These suggestions might be the suggestions from TV Land stars.
Yeah, you should get your hands on Dinosaurs. Do you remember
classic
that?
90s dinosaur.
Not the Mama.
Oh yeah.
I love that one too.
Yeah. I mean, I was weird too. I loved the really like cheesy. I was all about the TGIF. You know, I loved Mr. Belvedere. I loved Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers might be.
You know,
good.
Perfect Strangers was really fun for a kid. For as a kid, I loved that show.
And in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled that the family on Step by Step was a Lambert family. I was like, it's possible.
Is that the one with possible. Suzanne Summers?
Heck yes. Yeah. And Patrick Duffy?
No.
Yeah. It was like a modern Brady Bunch.
That it was.
Yeah.
That it was. All right. So we're going to let you guys go. 10 o'clock. Teachers premieres on TV Land. And this is amazing for the Katydids, a Chicago improv group that's now in Los Angeles. They're the producers, the stars, the writers, authored all the episodes. Katie Thomas, Kate Lambert, and Caitlin Barlow are in studio with me. The other three, their names?
Kate Friedman.
Katie O'Brien.
Katie Colleton.
There you go. There they are. The Katydids are on TV Land. Is it going to be Wednesday nights at 10?
This first week, it'll be 10 o'clock because we follow Younger, and that's an hour-long episode for the premiere, but then we'll be on at 9:30.
So 9:30 for the rest of the remainder, but tonight, 10 o'clock.
You got it.
Yes.
Congratulations again, and thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.